like to refer your attention to the back of the program. There are a couple of announcements that I will read, and if you'd like to follow along with me, great. It is time to help with God's Storehouse Backpack Program. Our day will be Thursday, November the 14th at 4 p.m. Meet at God's Storehouse and let Nancy Wilson know you want to help. Last month, 8 people fixed 178 bags in just 30 minutes. Thanks to all that helped in October. Next announcement. The thank offering is one of Presbyterian Women's 2 annual offerings. Received in the fall of the year, it gives women a tangible way to express their gratitude for special blessings in their lives. The thank offering funds are awarded through a grant or grants ranging from $5,000 to $50,000. At least 40% of the funds provided go to the health ministries. A list of the 2019 recipients may be reviewed on the website of PCUSA. Please consider contributing to this opportunity to share Christ's compassion and love. This year, our thank offering will be received November the 17th. Join me now in the reading of the responsive call to worship. We will extol you, our God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. One generation shall laud your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts.
The Lord is gracious and merciful.
At this time, please join with me in the reading of the prayer of confession. Holy and meaningful God, merciful, in your presence we confess our sinfulness, our shortcomings, and our offenses against you. You alone know how we have sinned in wandering from your ways and in wasting your gifts. Have mercy, O God, for the times that we have failed to see ourselves as stewards of your gifts, rather than masters of them. We fail to value the hours of each day. We view our possessions as merely the products of the sweat of our brow. We underutilize the talents you have given us. Renew us by your Holy Spirit that we may joyfully live as your grateful stewards. Amen. Amen. And now for the reading of the assurance of pardon. God, the Creator, brings you new life, forgiveness, and redeems you. Take hold of this forgiveness and live your life in the Spirit of Jesus.
Do we have any children this morning? Yay. Good morning. How are y'all today? That weather change got really cold fast, didn't it? What's this? Do you think? Some stuff in it. Let's see what I got here. It looks like that's some sort of thing that I could use. We're checking your hearing this morning. It's got stuff like this in it. It's a toolbox. Yeah, it's a tool bag. Mm-hmm. Now, this is what? It's a screwdriver. Make sure people are awake this morning. Would I use this to play the piano with? No, oh, that's ridiculous. Let's see what else I got. I know, I would break it. Oh, do you know what this is? It's a wrench. Uh-huh. Would I trim my fingernails with this? It might be a little painful. I need a nail cutter. All these things have a job, don't they? They all have a purpose. You know that the church is like a toolbox for God? You have to use these for bolts. The church has a purpose and everyone in it. And thank goodness he made us all different. We all have different ways of doing things. We all have things that, gifts that we have that God gave us that we can use. Let's see if you have one of those tools. Do you like helping at school when the teacher needs to pass out papers and stuff? Do you like to do that? Maybe you have the gift of serving because you do that. But if you have like a friend or someone who's being bullied and you stand up for them and you say, this isn't right. Do you do that? You've done that before? And that's showing compassion for another person. Those are all gifts, and we don't often think about those things. We think about, you know, like Steve is the minister, and people in the choir sing, and I play, but we all have a job to do here on this earth to make it a better place. So thank goodness that we are all part of God's toolbox. Pray with me, please. That's right, the earth's a toolbox, and we're the tools. Let us pray. Lord, help us to find what tools we can be for you, how we can serve you best in this world, and bring the light of your love to each and every person we meet. That's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. And before you go, I have another thing that has different things in it. Because there are so many different people in the world, there should be so many different pieces of candy as well. You all can have two pieces and take it back with you, maybe ask before you eat it. Get two. That's so many choices. So many choices. Thank you, guys.
And now for the reading of the prayer for illumination. Gracious Lord, help us now to listen carefully and prayerfully to your word, that we may learn how to be more faithful disciples. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And now for the first scripture reading, which comes from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 7. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. These are the words of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. gospel reading for this morning comes from John chapter 12, the first 8 verses. Let us listen for God's word. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it out on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because "Leave the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." The word of the Lord. Well, on this Commitment Sunday, this Sunday that is given to stewardship and the importance of stewardship in the life of the church, I found this old line from John D. Rockefeller. It's his 3 simple rules for anyone who wants to become rich. Number 1 is to go to work early. Number 2 is to stay at work late. And number 3 is to find oil. Easier said than done. The stewardship committee of the church is not drilling for oil. They have been doing other things, much more akin to the Apostle Paul's 3 steps to becoming spiritually rich: faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these being love. And our story this morning from John's gospel is a story of love, Mary's love for her friend and teacher, Jesus. But I think we will also see how it relates to matters of stewardship as well. John's gospel gives us so much detail about this one of the truly great families in the New Testament. We know this family who lived in a little town of Bethany north of Jerusalem as 2 sisters and a brother, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And in the chapter before this morning's reading, we hear the story about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And it's such a powerful story. It's a story of life being ripped out of the jaws of death. And our story for this morning is something less overpowering, but something that's still dramatic in its own right. We find Jesus with this Bethany family, these 3 sibling friends of Jesus. They were doing what they often did. They gathered around table and shared a meal and fellowship together. But in order to fully understand the abundance and the joy of this meal, it's important to know what's been going on before we get to this moment in John's gospel. We are deep into the plot that is being made behind closed doors to have Jesus crucified. The Jewish religious authorities and the Roman politicians, along with the help of a betrayer of Jesus, Judas, are conspiring to kill Jesus. And it's no mystery to Jesus and to most of his closest followers. The disciples and this amazing Bethany family are aware that Jesus is in danger. In fact, by this time, his followers are even in danger. Even Lazarus realizes that he's in danger. The story about him being brought back from the dead has been getting around, and people were wanting to put a lid on the story. But amidst this threat, John's gospel gives us Easter reminders. Reminders that tell us that God's power for love and life will not be overcome. At the center of this story, we see Mary, and she shows us what living with faith amidst threat looks like. Amidst all these threats, this Bethany family had Jesus over for dinner. They cleaned up the house. They set the table with all the best. They made a lavish meal with all the goodies. They were having Jesus over, the one who had saved their brother. And they were talking and laughing and eating together around the family table. Mary knew the threats against Jesus and the violence mounting against him. So what did she do? She went and she got one of the family's greatest treasures, an entire pound of pure nard, a very expensive perfume that would have been worth a year's wages. It was customarily used for burial rites. And she took this treasure and lavishly poured it out over Jesus' feet. She just dumped it out on his feet and wiped her hair with this perfumed fragrance. It was an extraordinary, extravagant gesture of love and gratitude. Judas the betrayer protested that this was an outrage. All of that money just poured out on Jesus, on his feet. Judas thought that this was a stewardship disaster. 300 denarii could have gone to buy food for hundreds of people. What a failure of common sense. That's what Judas thought. Now, I have to confess, as I hear this story and read over it, I know that I often see things the same way Judas did in this story. Now, John tells us that Judas was thinking about lining his pockets with the money, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm pointing out his common sense argument that he was making, because I know that I think common sense is important for the Christian faith. I think that most of the time there is an important place for practicality, reason thinking in our Christian faith. It's true when it comes to budgeting and stewardship. I think that if you want to love God, the best place to start is not to look for a lion's den or a coliseum for a heroic one-time gesture of faith, but rather to daily take the time and the effort to do the committed actions of loving those that are closest to us. I say all this to say that if I had been there when Mary poured out that extravagant gift on Jesus' feet, I know that I don't know what I would have done or what I would have thought. But it reminds us that common sense is not the only part of our Christian faith. This story reminds me that there's more to the Christian faith than common sense. Truly and fully entrusting ourselves to an eternal, invisible God requires more of our souls and spirits than simply practicality. And this story is one of those times. Mary's extravagant gesture to Jesus was an act of love and gratitude, but it was more. It was a confession of faith. It was a visible action embodying what faith and trust in God looks like. Brett Favre used to say that in football, sometimes you have to go deep just to remind yourself of the joy of the football game. Now, that's reducing the story to a little bit of a superficiality, but in a sense, we see Mary at the most unusual time go deep, throw caution to the wind in order to remind us of an invisible truth. In the face of threat, amidst the grip of violence and death, Mary's extravagant fragrance reminds us that life is the final word from God. She knew in the most ultimate sense that there was nothing to fear, not from the religious authorities, not even from the military of Rome. She had seen God bring her brother back from the grave. Mary's act demonstrated the old line from the Heidelberg Catechism: in life and in death, we belong not to ourselves, but to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Why wait until Jesus' death to bring out the expensive burial perfume? It was the time to celebrate the power and life of God that she had experienced in Jesus. Now, one quick aside here. I think when looking at this passage, it's always good to remember something historically. This passage has historically been used in some regrettable ways to argue against caring for the poor. And it's strange that with all of Jesus' teachings about caring for the poor, this one line about the poor you will always have with you gets misinterpreted. Jesus was quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 15. And Jesus, of course, knew the rest of the passage. So let me just give you that full quote from Deuteronomy 15. The poor you always have with you. Therefore, I command you, you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to the needy and the poor of the land. And of course, this is exactly what Jesus demonstrated in his own life and ministry. And the reason that it's possible to share is that God's abundance makes it possible to share. So just that little aside there, but back to Mary's extravagant display of faith, she shows the same thing. That the abundance of God means that there is always more. There is always more from which we can share. There is always life from the giver and the creator of life. So even amidst threat, even when Jesus knows full well that he's headed to the cross, and one of his own is involved in the plot, even then, Jesus shares with Mary the joy and wonder that our lives are always in the hands of this living God. This extravagant, fragrant pouring out of perfume is a statement of faith that the overbearing empire, the corrupt leadership, the betrayer Jesus, none of these problems kept the life and abundance of God from being present with them. Because this is true, there's always reason for gladness. There's always reason to keep joy in our hearts. Well, Mary, in such a visible way, helped us to see these ponderous and profound gifts. Mary was the quiet one, the intuitive, prayerful sister. Mary was the one that constantly was learning at Jesus' feet. Mary was the one that drove her sister Martha nuts, drove her crazy because they were opposite personalities. Martha was the practical one, the list maker, the get things done lady. Martha was the one that even at the news of the death of her brother Lazarus was the one who confessed that Jesus was the Messiah. Both of these two, both Martha and Mary, are crucial for Jesus' story. They go together. They have different gifts and personalities. They have different callings. Martha and Mary are different as any two siblings could be, but both were treasured friends of Jesus. They both played important parts of God's work. Their brother Lazarus played an important part as well. He must have been a patient man, because you can bet he heard a million times the question, "Hey, Lazarus, tell us the story about the time that Jesus raised you from the dead." Lazarus was also a witness to the Messiah. They were a family of faith, a family of friends to Jesus. Each had their own way to serve. Each had their own unique personalities and gifts. Each trusted in the Lord. Each sister and brother were necessary to make this Bethany family the wonderful witness that it is. It's not unlike this family of faith, First Presbyterian Church, who today remembers its unique calling as Jesus' present-day disciples. The stewardship committee picked the reading from 1 Corinthians 12 and which Paul taught that first generation of Christians, that there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. Now, you don't have to be like Martha or Mary or Lazarus, but you might be. Whoever God has made you to be, you have gifts to share for the good of the whole. That's what stewardship is all about. Recommitting the gifts and the totality of our lives to the purposes of God's kingdom. My Stewardship Sunday encouragement for you this morning is this: to continue on the course of your generosity and faithfulness. This past Wednesday at Family Night Supper, I listened to an excellent stewardship presentation, and it showed the past 10 years of your history in stewardship of resources and mission giving. You have given and prayed and shared in order to support the ministry of First Presbyterian Church for Danville and for the world. And even as the church has gotten smaller in number in a changing day, you have remained big in heart. You've made it possible to continue to support the spiritual fellowship of this body of believers. That is, you support, encourage, and pray for one another. And you have shared of God's abundance with your neighbors right here in this neighborhood. And yes, throughout the world. Every Saturday morning, you share food and prayers with people in need, as well as a host of mission projects too long to list. Your mission extends past this community as you support numerous missions and missionaries here and abroad. Friends, on this Commitment Sunday, remember that this is the good and abundant way of those who are disciples of Jesus Christ. Keep it up. Take joy in it. Utilize the whole family of faith. Continue to use sound, practical wisdom to faithfully steward God's gifts. And celebrate the wonder of God's power for life. Go deep every once in a while. Friends, trusting that God's providence means that there is always enough, this is the more excellent way. I close with the beautiful words of Hal Lewis's 1916 hymn, Lord of Light. Lord of Light, your name outshining all the stars and suns of space, use our talents in your kingdom as the servants of your grace. Use us to fulfill your purpose in the gift of Christ, your Son. Abba, as in highest heaven, so on earth your will be done. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us stand together as we confess the faith of the church, saying together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our hymn of response is number 391, Take My Life.
Thank you.
Please be seated. As we come to the pastoral prayer, prayer concern to keep on our hearts and minds today. Our prayers are with Lisa Bolt. Lisa, as you have thyroid surgery this Thursday, our prayers are with you. And with those prayers and all those on our heart, let us turn to God. Let us pray. Ever-giving God, you have showered blessings and gifts upon us and upon the earth. The whole world bears the fruit of the life-giving spirit that hovered over the waters at the beginning of creation and still brings forth life today. Grant to us the creature's eyes of faith that understands all this to be an amazing gift from your hands. So we worship you today with gratitude and thanksgiving. We recognize the giver's hand upon our lives and upon the earth. We partake in this life's blessings, and we know their ultimate source is you, O God, the same maker and giver of our very lives. As your people gathered together in this place, we ask your blessings upon the life and ministry of First Presbyterian Church. Let your Holy Spirit continue to guide, lead, and inspire this church to fulfill the special mission to which you have called her. We ask your blessings upon each member and friend of this church. We give you thanks for who you have made them to be and the qualities and personalities that they add to this fellowship. We ask your blessings upon the city of Danville and pray that this church continues in its patterns of service to this community and to be a profound blessing within it. We ask your blessings upon each person upon our prayer list and especially upon those named this morning. Give to each person as you know their needs. On this Sunday before Veterans Day, we thank you for our veteran service to this nation. May our gratitude be known and felt by each. We ask your blessings as well upon those who serve today. Watch over and keep them safe as well as their families. Now we join together in the prayer that Christ taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We will have our regular Sunday offering, as we usually do. And then after the offering and the doxology and the prayer, then we will make our commitments of our pledges. So, for the offering, let us bring the life of the fruits of our labors and life and offer them to the Lord.
Thank you.
us pray. In the name and in the spirit of Jesus, we bring our gifts to you, O God. Help us to give them with a ready mind, a willing spirit, and a joyful heart. Amen. Friends, so I'm going to invite you for this Commitment Sunday to come from your pews into the middle aisle. And as you do, if you remembered your pledge cards today, you can put them in the baskets. It will come up and down the middle aisle. We do this symbolically, so if you bring your pledge card in another time, that is fine too. But what I want you to know today, as you gather as the family of faith, notice each other as brothers and sisters and the gifts that each of you bring to this community as well. So again, if you'll come into the middle aisle, John and Tom, if I could ask you to come and bring the baskets. Let us pray. All good things come from you, O God, and with gratitude we return to you what has come to us as a gift. You created all that is, and with love formed us in your image. When our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. So in gratitude for all your gifts, we offer these gifts. We dedicate ourselves to your good and heavenly purposes. By your Holy Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to the world for your sake and your glory, we pray. Amen. I'll invite you to return as we sing our final hymn of commitment, number 281, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Thank you. friends, as you go into this new week, go trusting that Christ goes before you to prepare the way for you. And he goes behind you to nudge you in the way of faith. He goes beside you to befriend you and to accompany you along life's way. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.